face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
We'll take your calls on anything. Call us here for sports. Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zorak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Download the app. Give us a stream.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. Bert Breer is with us from the MMQB.
Beetle, I'm happy to inform you that me and Hardy have an update on the electrocution situation.
Is it related to the large sum of money that was awarded to the individuals involved?
Indeed it is.
Thank you to Pat, by the way, who tweeted this to us.
This is fantastic. This is fantastic. So we got everything kind of like you guys, everybody heard what happened in 1985.
Yeah, so just to recap, if you're just joining us, five guys carried out, well, a bunch of people carried out pieces of the goalpost in 85. December of 85, Patriots clinched a wild card berth against the Bengals, and five guys got electrocuted on Route 1 by touching the power lines with one of the pieces of the goalpost.
Led by McKenzie. Okay, a Suffolk Superior Court jury awarded nearly $5 million yesterday to two New England Patriots fans.
And this was in December of 91, who suffered
severe electrical burns when a goalpost carried out of Foxborough Stadium by celebrating fans struck a high-tension wire and fell on them. The awards were against a security firm, Wackenhut Corp, and the town and the town of Foxborough. The jury awarded $3.25 million to John B. Palazzolo, 31, and $1.4 million to Robert E. Abramson, 25. They were burned following the December 22nd, 1985 game at the Cincinnati Bengals, in which the Patriots earned a playoff berth. A 30-foot section of the goalpost was carried onto Route 1, where a group of fans stuck it in a metal barrel, as we said before, and the top touched a high-tension wire.
That's their fault.
Palazzolo, a computer programmer, was struck on the arm and burned to the bone. That sounds painful. Abramson reached up to catch the pole to prevent it from falling on his head and suffered burns to both hands.
So it sounds like those guys may have been innocent bystanders.
Yeah, it does sound like that, doesn't it?
It doesn't. And you know what? Only three of them who suffered the injuries were awarded money, according to this story. So maybe the other two, including McKenzie over there, were actually carrying it. But that may have been how it went down, and that's why the report of those
that they were trying to prevent something, bad situation from getting worse.
It was about to fall on their head, and they reach up and grab it, and the thing's electrified.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it was the security or whoever's in charge of security?
Wackenhut.
Yeah. And the town of Foxborough.
It's like Pizza Hut, but a little different. It's the Wackenhut.
You get whacked. Hey, drive through. I'd like three whacks, please.
They should have sued whoever's
ever. Places like that in Florida, I believe.
Whoever was in charge of giveaways that night. You know, it's like if you give away bobbleheads and they end up being dangerous. If you're going to allow people to carry goalposts out and they're not safe to take into the parking lot and across Route 1, then, you know, put them on the hook, too. It's all bad.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you can be liable for a lot of other people's bad.
No kidding.
Reckless behavior, right?
Goalposts.
Yep.
We've got calls on that game, of course, because that's just what happens. Chris in Attleboro, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Hi.
How you?
Good. So we had season tickets, and I was in the front row of the south end zone. Uh-huh. And so at the end of the game, the north end zone rushed on. I stood up on the wall. My buddy pushes me off. I'm standing there. All these stadiums are there. I said, baloney. Right through them. Everybody followed me. My buddy actually punched a cop in the head. His hat flew off.
Was his last name McKenzie?
I don't know. He had a lot of nemesis. He had a lot of nemesis in his hat, though.
What did it feel like running on that field? Like, were you like this is awesome?
Oh, well, I just had no choice.
You got to go. Some nights you're like, tonight's the night I'm going to be that guy. Right. I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
John, together.
John in Marshfield was also at that game. John?
John?
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
I was at that game. I had a choice, and I decided that this place is a freaking zoo, and me and my buddies, we got out of there. And we're walking. You know how it is after the game.
Oh, yeah.
There's a million people trying to cross Route 1. We were about a quarter mile up the highway going to our car, and all of a sudden I turned around because you hear people see yelling and screaming behind you. The goalposts were literally, they're outside the stadium intact, dancing at like a 45-degree angle. You guys are carrying it across the freaking highway. It was unbelievable.
I would have started kicking a ball through them.
Just minding your own business. Turn around. There's the goalpost right there.
The goalposts were dancing.
On a 45-degree angle.
That's a great way of putting it.
Can't believe it toppled over. It's like
bobbing up and down.
Get it back up. Get that thing back up.
I mean, that takes like a to carry him all the way out onto Route 1, too. Like we mentioned how it takes like people looking the other way. It also takes a fair amount of organization from
and
the drunk people like running it. Yeah,
like at some point, how did they not give up and get tired of trying?
I mean, that thing's pretty heavy. I'm assuming, right?
Like if this team really gets hot and you host like AFC title game, you win. And somehow one of those goalposts get out across Route 1. Someone in a truck's got a couple bags of Quikrete, and you stick that thing in a barrel way out across Route 1. You got to leave it out there for posterity.
Beetle asked a great question. Like, what was the end game? Like,
I got my dad's work truck. It's got the long bed. It'll fit.
We're taking it home.
Where was it going?
37 feet.
Just shocking that it wouldn't
Maybe they're going to plant it in like one of those tailgate lots across the street, right?
That's what I'm saying. Come somebody in a truck's got a couple bags of Quikrete, throw that thing in a barrel, somebody's got to set it.
It didn't stay in that barrel. It's like, why did the 2x4 fall over? I don't know. I had it stuck in this empty Dunkin' cup. I
like tearing the goalpost
like
down.
That forever.
Tearing the goalpost down used to be a thing, but then they just get left there. It was like, we tore it down, right?
They just be left on, like, most places. You just left them on the field.
Yeah.
That's how you used to do it at Ohio State. You would tear them down.
No, the goalpost, they were prepared for it.
I'd pay money to see your drunk ass fall off that goalpost.
Actually, if you, like, look at, like, after the 06 game, when they rushed the field, the 1-versus-2 game, the cops had actually formed a triangle around the goalpost.
The wedge.
So, if you look at it, the pictures of Ohio Stadium that day, the whole stadium's down on the field, and there's just two kind of triangles around the goalposts of, like, state troopers.
I just stand there with two tasers in your hand and just form a triangle, and there's no one getting through you.
Yeah.
Mike in the car says he was at the game, and we're missing one key element about all of it. What do you got, Mike?
Okay, so after the first goalpost came down, there were about 20.
Wait, is there a story about the second goalpost?
What about the other five goalposts, Mike?
This is so great. Go ahead, Mike.
So after the first one comes down, there were about 20, 30 cops surrounding the other one to prevent anyone from ripping it down. And all of a sudden, in one motion, about 6,000 people ran towards the other goalpost. I've never seen police move so fast in my life.
They were like, overtime's great, but this is not what we signed up for. You can have the goalpost.
Oh, yeah. It was beautiful. I'll never forget it. Great day.
All right, Mike.
Good stuff. I guess would Boomer have been the quarterback of the Bengals then?
He
would have, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Bert, your state police wedge is great, right up until everyone on the field comes
everybody decides,
like, have at it.
You can't get all of us, right?
Oh, man. Paul in Pawtucket. What do you got, Paul? Paul? All right. Put him back on hold. We'll see if he's there in a moment. Chris is in Norfolk today. Chris.
Yes. First of all, Zoe, go KP football.
Yes, sir. I'll be there tomorrow night. Let's go KP.
Fantastic.
Crush CM.
Fantastic. So this is a true story. I'm actually friendly with one of the guys you referenced in the settlement.
Palazzolo? Okay. Or
which one? The Italian guy?
Which did he get?
True story. So he badly burned his thumb, because kind of funny, but not funny, but badly burned his thumbs during that incident. They grafted skin from his butt to his thumbs, and from then on, his nickname with his buddies was Butt Thumb.
Clever.
I mean, it's simple, but it works, Hardy. Yeah. Hardy, it works. Hey, Butt Thumbs.
Hey, Butt Thumb. Oh, this is great.
Keep taking them. Let's go. We're loaded.
Paul in Pawtucket is back. You there, Paul?
I'm here.
You think we can get Butt Thumbs to call in?
What do you got?
Yeah, I actually have a piece of the goalpost, about an 8-inch long piece of it.
Are you serious?
How long?
The game.
8 inches?
About 8 inches.
Who was cutting it up?
Somebody have like a chainsaw?
Who brought the hacksaw?
You know, get this. No, he did some electrical work at his house. He's like, hey, that's the, you know, he was telling me about the goalpost. I said, I was at that game. He goes, well, cut a piece off. So I took a sawzall. I got it on my dresser, right? Now get this. It still caused an injury because I did a shitty job. I mean, I did a lot of.
Safe harbor. We're good.
That word's fine at 1 o'clock.
I cut my finger on it, so it's still doing injury. Just want to know, who can I sue?
Yeah.
Time to revisit, start a class action lawsuit.
What a story. I did work on the guy's house who had the bigger piece of the goalpost. I said, why don't you take a... It's like, just slice a piece of bread off yourself.
I can't pay you for the recessed lighting you just put in. Why don't you hack off a piece of the goalpost and we'll call it even.
It's a piece of New England history.
Kevin in the car also claims to have a piece of the goalpost. Kevin. Kevin, you there?
Kevin.
Go ahead.
Start a class action lawsuit.
Turn the radio down.
You worked on the guy's house who had the bigger piece.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God, Kevin. Radio down. Go to Paulie. Paulie in the truck. Paulie. Were you at that game?
No, I wasn't at that game. The wildest thing I've ever seen at that stadium was, of course, Bud, a bunch of UMass students partying. They had couches, huge coolers full of beers.
No, and a football
man
game.
And woman there. And
a woman.
They had a TV. And there was a big implication of the AFC game, implications. They were watching that. But, of course, during the breaks and at halftime and between games of the next game that was coming up, they were playing porn. Right in the park, we had a couple of little kids with us. We had to try to keep the kids away from these wild UMass students. But that's not what I call to talk about.
Oh, good.
But that was a
like a good porno at the football
today.
Game.
Let's try Kevin again. Kevin.
Yeah, that's a tough one to follow up. But I was at the game that the post came down, and it came right down, and the windsock flag on the top was right in front of me. My buddy and I ripped it off. And we kept going with it, but as that thing left the stadium, I said, this isn't going to end well. And that's so, when we
do
gave
remember,
up.
Wait, you got Kevin, the flag off the top of the upright. How did it leave the stadium? Like, what?
It had to go up the visiting tunnel, right?
Up the ramp in the corner.
The corner, yeah.
And it was two ramps.
And yeah, they used to park ambulances
in there. They used to open up the chain link fence.
Yep.
And it went right out the fence, and they carried it right through the parking lot. And that was a long way to carry it. They carried it right out to Route 1.
Not really. Right at the top of that ramp, you're basically on Route 1.
Yeah, you got to remember how close that stadium was to the road.
Way closer to the highway.
Much closer.
They couldn't even get the TV trucks. They had to like have people watch both sides because there was 6 inches between the Route 1 guardrail and the inside of the stadium to where the TV truck could fit through to get to the
So you're saying it was the width of the truck plus like 6 inches.
Yeah.
You could barely get it through.
Yeah. Single lane.
Does he still have the flag, though, from the top? To me, that's a much more keepable piece of memorabilia.
I am the guy that didn't get shocked.
Yes.
And not prone to injury some, 25 years later.
Right.
Oh, thanks for staying, though,
35.
Buddy.
Hey, but if you were that close to that flag, though, that thing probably came really close to just landing on you, right?
Yeah. So, Bert, if you were at the old stadium and you were looking toward the end zone, the north end zone, where the that little club was up there.
There's that club above the end zone seats, right?
Yeah. But to the left of that, it was wide open.
There was a ramp, that's
ramp
right.
Ramp that went right up to the road. Right. Like, it would have been easy to get it out of that place.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it'd be impossible to do that shot now, right? Like, you'd almost, like, I guess you'd have to, like, take it through the underneath the bridge at Gillette. That'd be the only way to get it out.
Yeah, can't even explain that place to people who had never been there.
No,
it's impossible to do. It was such a dump, but it was great.
It was great.
It was our dump.
Wild for such a dump. There was not a bad seat in that place.
No, because you were right on top.
You were right
of the
on
field.
Top of it. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Except you get to your aisle and you'd be like, oh, there's no seats left. Yeah, but I have a ticket. Like, scooch in. Yeah. We all have tickets for this row, you know? All right, Bert. Good times. Good laughs.
See you, Bert.
All right. Thanks, guys.
So long.
Thanks for being here. Bert Breer, the MMQB. We'll talk to Derek Forbert. He's scheduled to call us next segment. Is that still happening, T-Bone?
Well, as far as I know, yeah.
As far as T-Bone knows, that's still happening. We'll talk to him next. We hope.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
We'll take your calls on anything. Call us here for sports. Sports calls next at 617-779-0985.
Zorak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Marked and final hour. Zolak and Bertrand here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Make sure you go to our website, 98.5thesportshub.com. Download the app. Give us a stream.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. Bert Breer is with us from the MMQB.
Beetle, I'm happy to inform you that me and Hardy have a update on the electrocution situation.
Is it related to the large sum of money that was awarded to the individuals involved?
Indeed it is.
Thank you to Pat, by the way, who tweeted this to us.
This is fantastic. This is fantastic. So we got everything kind of like you guys, everybody heard what happened in 1985.
Yeah, so just to recap, if you're just joining us, five guys carried out, well, a bunch of people carried out pieces of the goalpost in 85. December of 85, Patriots clinched.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
You want to talk sports in Boston? You talk to these guys.
That will now be a recycled take.
Right.
But it's a retake.
It's a reheated take. Microwave take.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Not good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Phone number, you're on Zolak and Bertrand. Derek Forbert scheduled to join us, but don't see him there yet. We'll go to Al in Rhode Island. What's up, Al?
Yeah. How's it going, guys? Love the show. Thanks for putting me on. I got a pretty funny story for back in the day when Zo played at Foxborough Stadium. You guys were playing the Packers, and it was coming down to the end of the game. You were driving down the field for a game-winning field goal, and my brother and I are like, get the heck out of here. We'll shoot down in the tunnel and we'll watch the field goal. As soon as they kick it, we'll get out, beat the traffic. So we go down, as we're walking down the tunnel, this big fat guy falls down right in front of us, lands on his back, and we're like, oh my God, I mean, we couldn't believe it. And 2 seconds later, this little muscle dude with no shirt jumps down after him, lands right beside him, and starts pounding the crap out of him. And we couldn't believe it. We moved out to the next tunnel, watched the field goal. You guys won.
I have access to those tunnels.
I think he's in the tunnel now.
He's in the tunnel. Do you remember that game, Zo?
I think the tunnel he's talking about is he talking about the tunnel that goes from the concourse up to the stands? Those were sort of tunnel-like.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And someone fell out of one.
Yeah.
Down in
I know what you're saying. The ones that go up to the
stands. Another guy jumps down after him and starts beating the crap out of him.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't be surprised by.
Right.
Ernie and Revere. Ernie.
Yeah, I was at that game that I, not only that, but I had some of the goalposts. When they were taking it up, I had like the back corner, the square part. And they were going up the stairs.
Square part.
And it wouldn't fit through the corner of the building. So everybody was going, heave, ho, back and forth. And they tore the aluminum off the side of the corner of the building, and to fit the goalpost through to get, and they ran down the hill. And I said, you know, I'm drunk, but I'm not this drunk. And
I would find a way to get the top of the goalpost in a studio. I don't know why you would have problems getting it out of the damn tunnel.
Heave ho!
Heave-ho!
What's that going to do?
Well, it was a way to get everyone banging the goalpost in the right direction.
Oh. Yeah.
To get it to push through and break the building and make sure that you get the goalpost out onto Route 1.
Hey, I think we have a guest on the line, Beetle.
Derek Forbert, Boston Bruins defenseman with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You get in the car? What's going on there?
What's up, man?
Yeah, I just got in the car. Right. Just picked up a little Chipotle. Now I'm heading to the plane.
What'd you get?
Now, as I say, what's your go-to there?
I got a pretty large order, I'm not going to lie. I got three tacos and then a burrito bowl and chips.
Well, you're being a big guy, 6'5". What do you weigh? What are you, 240?
I'm 240. Are you kidding me?
You can't skip.
I wish I was 240.
240? What are you?
220?
No, I weigh 220.
Yeah.
After the season, like, you kind of, you know, go on a little bender, then I'll get up to about, like, 230. But, yeah, it usually comes down pretty quick once I start working out.
All right. You guys have lost 2 of 3. Tough stretch coming up. Are you prepared to face some tough teams here that are on the horizon?
Yeah. Yeah, we got a big tell with Nashville tomorrow. I don't know. I thought we played pretty good last night, but we just couldn't score, and just kind of a weird game. But, I think we're playing all right. We just got to keep it going.
Does it kind of throw a loop into things? Like, you think, okay, COVID's under control. We're playing here. We're in the midst of the season, and bam, your coach gets it. Does that kind of set you guys back?
Yeah, it's a little bit of adversity, but, we'll be fine. It was kind of shocking. Like, we haven't really had any COVID cases, and then just to kind of get one at the top there was kind of, it's like, oh, yeah, this thing's still going on.
What do you think of Marchand's suspension? You've seen a lot of penalties over the years. Does that rise to the occasion of a 3-game suspension? Yeah, I look at it, and I could see it both ways, but I think Bergeron brought up some good points about how long it's been and what the type of player he is now. What did you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I was cut off. Pretty surprised when they said 3 games. To be honest with you, I mean, you kind of slew fits kind of happen like quite a bit, like in games. Like, guys do it a lot. Like, I thought he was going to get fined. I didn't think he was going to get suspended 1 game, and then for them to throw 3 at him was kind of like, well.
Well, we were talking about it yesterday. How he's almost at a disadvantage when it comes to calls like that because of his size. If he's going to play the body on a guy, he's, you know, a larger proportion of his body.
Yeah, he was your size.
Yeah, he's going to be, you know, kind of down lower like that. And if you're going to try and fight for a puck, I think things like that are more likely to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way he went into, like, that situation, like, thinking I'm going to sleep for this guy. It's just like they were body on body, and he's way smaller than Ekman Larson, and just kind of happened, like, I don't think there was any, like, bad intent with it.
Yeah,
I think he is also at a disadvantage because of just reputation in the league when he goes in front of that board. And I'm curious, because you've only been a teammate of Brad Marchand's now for a short time, but what was his reputation when he was on the other side? He was a guy you had to play against.
Yeah, what'd you think of him?
I mean, he hasn't really been – he's such a good, like, offensive guy now that he doesn't really – I don't think he really does that kind of stuff as much. He's just – I mean, he's so good at scoring and setting up plays that he doesn't have to do that. I mean, I think it was more early on in his career where he kind of got that rep. But, yeah, I guess people don't forget.
We've hit you with COVID. We've hit you with Marchand. Jake DeBrusque asks for a trade, and obviously it's out there now. But in your league, though, doesn't this happen? I don't want to say often, but you guys are fine playing with guys that maybe are disgruntled or need a fresh start or ask for a trade. And then all of a sudden, boom, the guy's got to stay with the team, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jake, he talked to all of us, you know, yesterday morning, and, we all love Jake, and we all support him, and, you know, we understand that he kind of needs a fresh start. No one's holding anything against him, and he's still going to, as long as he's here, he's still going to battle with the boys. And, he's such a good guy in the locker room. There's no way he wouldn't, you know, continue to help the guys win and play his hardest, so it's fine.
Do you get guacamole with your chips, or are you more of a just down the straight up salsa tip?
Oh, I got guacamole. Yeah, okay. Healthy fats.
Okay. Yeah. That's right. That's a healthy fat.
Yeah.
That's good for you.
Hey, yeah. you get your tree up yet?
Is that what all those keto people that are just like, yeah, just eat as much guacamole as you can.
Yeah, but what do you eat with your finger? Like, you need chips with it.
He's got chips.
Oh, okay. I thought he said no chips.
Are you put off by the extra price of the guacamole, or do you feel it all equals out since you don't have to pay your own cell phone bill?
Off. Yeah.
Yeah. The pennies I'm saving on the phone bill, I can put towards my guacamole fund.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Did you get your
The whole city of Boston just thinks I'm totally incapable of like doing anything growing up now.
No. No one said that.
No.
See, next time you score two goals, they're going to throw cell phones on the ice instead of hats. You're going to get three.
They're going to throw the cards that you buy at the convenience store, just the minutes cards.
Yeah. Track phones.
Give me the prepaid phones.
Track phone, yeah.
Pick them all up and then I can get off the family plan.
Did you get your tree up yet? Did you get your Christmas tree up yet?
The tree's up. Obviously. It looks beautiful.
Real or fake?
I have no ornaments on it.
Okay.
It's real. Obviously. I don't want to get a fake tree.
Do you have any lights on it?
No ornaments.
Yeah, that must look nice.
Yeah, I got the white lights. I hate the look of the colored lights on the
Yes.
I need some ornaments too. So if people want to throw cell phones on the ice, just throw some ornaments for me too.
That's a classy tree though. A real tree with white lights and nothing else. I mean, that's
nice.
That's something you'd see like in a hotel lobby. That's nice.
Yeah, you put that in your backyard.
Very clean look.
It's an all business tree. There's no goofing around.
Just like Derek.
Yeah.
Right.
All business.
Are you avoiding tolls on your way to the flight? Do you drive like Zoe would drive, which is to avoid any tolls?
I take my license plate off when I go through tolls.
Yeah. I'm absolutely dangling. I'm trying to avoid these tolls, and you guys are distracting me. So my parents are probably going to hit up with a $2, $50 bill here pretty soon.
All right. Well, you've got tacos to eat and chips to eat. We don't want to keep you any longer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Derek.
All right, Derek. See you, buddy.
Yeah, see you guys.
Good luck.
All right, Derek Forbert with us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hunt.
I've never had a taco. I've never had a taco from Chipotle.
I have, and not good.
Well,
because it's the kids one you get. It's like the extra kid. My kid didn't like it, and I ate it, and I understood.
Well, maybe you got a kid's one, and that's why it wasn't good. I've had the burritos and the burrito bowls, but I've never had.
Oh my God, their bowls are fantastic.
Bowls are out of this world.
Burritos and bowls are unreal. Mm. Yeah.
All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls on everything from the day, which is all the Patriot stuff. We talked with Bert. The goalposts coming down in 85 at the old stadium. We've got the Revs in the mix. We started the day there. They're very disappointing. Stunner of a loss last night at Gillette. That's in the mix.
And, Mac Jones is copyrighted his nickname.
MJ10.
MJ10?
Yeah. MJ10. And we never did get to Tiger Woods yesterday.
Oh, my.
Throw that in there, too. That's all on the way.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Zone Beetle.
Phone lines are always open for you.
Answer the phone.
Give us if you want to call up out of the blue.
Answer the phone.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rod.
This is happening.
I know you describe them as a do-what-they-do defense, but as you look at your matchups against them since McDermott got there, have they defended your passing game year-to-year in a similar fashion?
Well, I think last year was a little bit different, but again, they have a good variety in their system. I'm not saying they just, they do one thing. They don't do that, but the things they do complement each other well. It's hard to tell which one they're doing because they all kind of look the same. They basically have the same personnel group. It's hard. it's hard to know whether which safety's coming, or if it's a boundary corner, or which linebacker's coming, or if they're going to drop out and fake like they're going to come. If they're going to stunt the line, if they're going to play base, if they're going to, you know, rotate, not rotate. And they just, you know, do a good job on all those things.
Bill Belichick on the Buffalo Bills defense. Bill Belichick powered by the Okers Company, New England's premier AV and technology solutions provider, product home of TouchView Interactive, proud partner of Hewlett Packard and your New England Patriots, celebrating 100 years of service and support. Visit Okers.com. Happy holidays from the Okers Company.
Oh my God, I use that that new display for the Telestrator thing that I do. It's
Telestrator,
yeah, the TouchView. It's great. It really is. Draw all over that sumbitch.
I'll tell you, it's been a long time since I've seen Hewlett Packard written out. It's been HP forever,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But thank you, Okers, and happy holidays to you as well.
Interesting there by Bill, huh? Except for last year. Yeah, we didn't have a passing game last year. Just throw last year out of it.
Couldn't throw the ball.
He's ready for him this year. Yeah. It's cat that eats the canary. I'm picking him.
We mentioned the Tiger Woods interview yesterday in passing at the end of the show. So we didn't spend a lot of time on it yesterday, but Tiger Woods making the announcement that he made that he will not be ever again a full-time golfer, I thought was significant, not because it's not obvious that that's the case.
I have a question.
But because he's admitting it to himself already.
I have a question. Like, we don't
know. Does that make sense?
We saw the report, like, when they pulled him out of the car. They talked about compound fractures, bones sticking out. Like, does his leg look like Alex Smith? Serious question. I'm not making a joke. Like, he's talking about having to regrow muscle and regrow nerves in his legs. And Hardy, you play golf. You know how, man, on money you got to be with everything. And when his back bugged him or just he had a little pain in his knee, you're talking about rebuilding your legs. He's not going to play again, like at a high level, right?
Well, he said he wasn't going to do full time. He wants to be able to participate in tournaments again. He wants to be able to, you know, do stuff here and there. But, you know, the idea of him coming back and...
Is he on crutches? Is he walking?
Yeah, he said that he built
it. He walked into the interview. I think it was, you know, it was obviously set up that way.
Oh, that's great then.
So that he would do that. But I thought, wow, he's moving pretty normally for a guy who...
What was the timing again on this accident?
No, I'm with you, Beetle. He's you know, moving, it seems to be pretty well for a guy who is looks good when he is walking and then in the next breath says, oh, I'll never play golf full time again. Now, full time to guys who are just starting out on tour and trying to, you know, make enough money to stay on tour. Okay, he hasn't been that in a long time.
Right.
He hasn't had to. He's been able to pick and choose, as a lot of guys do. But I think even on a small schedule, that would mean, you know, for him playing golf full time might only be 10, 12 tournaments a year. And he's telling you he's not going to do that. He's not going to. Yeah, it's not even his goal to be able to do that. I think you could see him, you know, hopefully back at the Masters and competing in something more than just an honorary way, which is what Nicholas and Palmer did for years. And some guys still do, even if they're just playing the first hole is kind of, no, he wants to be able to go out there and play, I'm sure. But we've said this from the very beginning. He's been hitting golf balls, and we see the video of him hitting the golf balls. I'm sure he'll be able to hit a golf ball until the day he dies.
Probably doing it on one leg. Yeah.
It's the walking.
Yeah.
It's the walking of the 18 holes,
the
up and down the hills, four rounds, you know, that minimum of two. And then if you make the cut, doing that all again on Saturday and Sunday. And that has to be the major obstacle right now, I would think. If he could just stand up there and hit golf balls, yeah, he could do that.
Yeah, and his quote was that after he had his back injury and had the back operation, that he had to climb Mount Everest. And he said, I don't think I'll have the body to climb Mount Everest again. That's it. And he said, that's okay. He said, what you're talking about, which is he's still going to click off a tournament here or there, is how he put it. But he said, you know, I'm grateful just to be able to participate in the sport of golf and be able to golf, meaning at all, in any capacity, whether it's professionally or going out and playing 18.
Or hitting, because ball, he can or get hitting up in balls the morning. On the range.
Right, and just do something. And he sounds very grateful, as he said, to have not lost one of his legs in this. And I don't know, it just sounded like he's a guy who's in a good place mentally despite everything that he's probably dealt with in the last 9 months.
Yeah, and he's probably... it feels fortunate, like you know, talked about amputation of the foot, potentially, or the lower part of the leg, you know, dealing with the infections and like, okay, you're actually going to be okay now. Now you're going to be able to play golf with your son. He talked about playing golf with what? Charlie's his son, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but, it's sad for me because, like, it's romanticism, right, with golf. Like, I need him in golf to like golf. Or I need the big, you know, we've talked about this, the big names. Like, Smith doesn't do it for me. The robots don't do it for me. It was him. It was Freddie Couples. You know, it's VJ. I need that. I needed those guys. Sergio, need all that.
Well, it's the end of an era for sure.
It is. It's an end. It's the closing of a book is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sad. It's his fault. What? He did it. Eh?
That's kind of like the unspoken thing, the thing that I know people ask
about. People are torn up.
Why,
like,
allowed to say that?
He effed up.
No,
it's, like people it's hold you accountable.
Unspoken by him because he was asked about it and or, you know, people have tried to ask. But this is at least the second or third instance of some type of self-inflicted, injury to him or to his character. And you got to wonder at one point, is he just looking for an excuse to not play anymore? You know, at what point does like the reckless behavior become indicative of somebody who's just not all that interested in continuing at, you know, the status quo? I'm not saying he wanted to almost kill himself and almost have his leg amputated, but he also for a long time now hasn't been going through life with the mindset of somebody who wants to play this game as long as he possibly can. He's been doing a lot of other stuff. And it's just it's a shame just for the history of the sport. It would have been fun, I think, to see him surpass Sam Snead in terms of the all-time wins and get him back into the conversation. Is he truly the greatest of all time? Which I still think he is. But people will look at the numbers. They'll point at the number of majors that Jack Nicklaus has. They'll point at the total number of wins that Sam Snead has and say Tiger Woods came close, but he didn't quite match or eclipse those guys. Which I think he did in terms of the way he dominated the competition during his peak and his prime. But it leaves enough ambiguity and enough questions out there to where it's not a slam dunk question and answer anymore.
All right. So some thoughts on that as well. Let's get back to your calls. John is in Sterling. John.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
So I watched episode 3 of Man in the Arena and you know, just like the other two episodes, I don't think it's showing anything earth shattering that hasn't been shown on a documentary, but I was looking forward to it because that 04 team, I think, is my favorite Patriots team of all time. And, I think Vrabel and Brewski and Brady did a good job of showing the mindset that they had between 03 and 04. And it goes to show how important it is to have, you know, leaders in the locker room that police all the players. It's something that can't fall squarely on the coach's shoulders. But anyways, I got a question for you guys. Do you think Bill looks back on that 04 team and tries to replicate what he had with that group through his player acquisition, his coaching hires, and just his coaching philosophy in general? I'll hop off. And
I just think
I don't understand, but why? Why 04?
I think that team was a wagon.
Yeah, but what does that mean as it relates to the coaching hires?
Well, because that was the year Cronell and Weiss, he left, and they kind of had a little bit of a lull between, and then all of a sudden they went to the, you know, air it out 07 through 2012 Patriots.
You got away what he's talking. I understand what he's talking about. You know, you built that base that this is the way we're going to play Patriots football through the first part of the dynasty. Then you got away from it. Then you had 06 where Brady carried your ass. That may have been one of Brady's best years ever. 06 thrown to Richey Caldwell and company. And then he loaded up in 07. And that didn't work. You fell flat. Your defense did at the end of that game. And I'm with them on 14. That was one of my favorite. That was my favorite team. That team that beat Seattle is my favorite team. That game, that run, that season, it was memorable. You know, 28-3 was fun. That was against the Falcons, though. You beat the Legion of Boom. You were down 10 in the fourth. Came back in that game. That's Yeah, you know, Malcolm Butler, my God, that game was great. Gronkowski on a linebacker match. You had everything in that game. Edelman, Amendola, you know. It was great. That's funny, too. You know what? Alabama, and the way they won that game, on that left wide receiver in and out corner, that's Billy O'Brien. That's the Edelman route. That's the Edelman in and out. That's the zag. Down in, out, return. That's how they won it. There's Billy taking a piece of what you did here. And it worked there. So that 04 team, though, was built well, really well.
Well, the thing I would say that maybe is closest to why you would bring up that team versus this team is that team relied on
running
the ball with Corey Dillon. Why would you not hand the ball off to Corey Dillon? But they did not have on that team the presence of Troy Brown. They were using Daniel Graham. They were throwing to the tight end a lot. They were using David Givens, who led the team in receptions in 04. And behind him was David Patton. And I think you can maybe see some parallels to the pieces they have now.
Yeah.
They had Deion Branch, who was freaking, you know, Deion Branch. I don't know that he had great numbers that year. I think he was hurt that year. But
he had a great Super Bowl, man.
Right. Of course. Huh. MVP. All of it. But, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe that's it. Maybe that they weren't using the slot receiver that year in 04, but I still don't follow you guys on the coaching, like, hires. I don't understand that. You're going to have to explain that to me better than
– Yeah.
They got away from what?
But you bring other guys in, and it's not Romeo and Charlie and, you know, maybe have different minds and different approaches. That's all. Where it was the same thing, 01, 02, 03, 04. The Rack's not going to call anything different. Charlie wasn't going to call anything different. You know, Charlie just called plays with what worked for him. We got a break.
All right, we'll do that. Today's takeaways are next.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Consultation today.
You say dialogue, so says.
It's nice to have sort of this open dialect with you to where.
Dialogue.
What did I say?
Dialect.
I said dialect.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Wake Up When You Need Weight Loss, an approved expense for both HSA and FSA accounts. Use those pre-tax dollars before the new year gets here by reserving your Awaken 180 consultation today.
We have time for anything.
I don't think so.
But I was going to tell you this. Hunter Henry's wife, Parker, this is a tweet from Zach Cox of Nesson, is pregnant with their first child and is due later this month.
What?
He's hoping that it doesn't come to this, but if the baby comes on game day, he will skip the game to be at the birth. So, what do you do in that situation? You induce.
Parcells said, you figure out, you got a year to figure this out.
Yeah.
Get pregnant on your own time. And if you want to do it during the season, you check your ass in Monday night and you induce the baby.
I'll see you Wednesday. I see Felger furiously rewriting the show
Michael Hurley special right here. Michael Hurley special. Hunter Henry, we won't even see him till next year.
Bye-bye.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Rangers.com.
Texas Rangers, a last place team this year, have already spent more than $500 million this month alone.
Why do that right before a lockout? What's the advantage?
Well, Shep, it's a great question. I think one key thing here is that teams are motivated, and the agents and players are as well, to get these deals done before that potential transaction freeze on the evening of December 1st. And of course, no one really knows what would be waiting on the other side of that deadline. What we know is that for now, the MLBPA and the players in baseball are the only group of players in North American pro sports who have no salary cap on their salaries here in professional baseball. So we'll see what happens here in the days ahead as we move towards what could be a transaction freeze.
And that's where we will begin today on Wednesday, December 1st. Felger Maz here from our Town Fair Tire Studios at the beautiful Beasley Media Group in Dorchester. We broadcast on 98.5 on the FM dial in the Boston area. Simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, the TV side. DraftKings brings you both programs. That's Shepard Smith and John Morosi on CNBC discussing the pending Major League Baseball lockout that is set to begin at midnight tonight. And that's where we begin with that. And the Red Sox moves, such as they are, preceding it. Maz, what are your thoughts on this at this hour?
Well, I think the work stoppage is a foregone conclusion. I don't think there's any avoiding it. But
face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.